You know, at camp, they have a little song that the kids like called Hallelujah, 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 Praise You the Lord. And they have this routine. You know, one side stands up on the Hallelujahs, the other side stands up on the Praise You the Lord. And your legs get really tired. I noticed that y'all must like that song. Because I'm going to ask you to stand again right now. You're wondering, what was the point of that? Well, there you go. If you will, stand up with me and take your Bible and turn to the book of Mark. Matthew, then Mark, in the New Testament. Mark chapter 1 is where we'll be. The children may be dismissed at this time to children's church. We do have a good time with that song, and the kids love it. But I won't make you do it this morning. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 14. When you reach Mark 1, say, Amen. God is good, and all the time He is. Amen. Mark 1, verse 14 says, Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Then they immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went after him. Would you pray with me again this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the call. The call to salvation, the call to follow you that you have given to us. Lord, that's our desire this morning. And I pray that if there's anyone here this morning, before we even begin this message, that does not know you, I pray that you would touch them, their heart, by your Holy Spirit, that you would draw them to yourself and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would hear that call and respond in faith and repentance. Lord, I pray for those of us here that do know you as Lord and Savior, that we would be faithful to follow you, that you would give us the power to do so. I pray this morning that you would empower me to preach, that you would quicken your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The call to follow. I love the book of Mark. You may be seated, yes. hallelujah, hallelujah. The call to follow. I love the book of Mark because he moves fast. And Mark jumps right into Jesus' ministry. And if you notice in verse 14, he says that after John was put in prison, we've barely been introduced to John, when the next thing you know, he's thrown in prison. Mark skips about a whole year here. There's about a whole year's time between when almost nearly a year between when Jesus was baptized and he goes into the wilderness and he's tempted there for 40 days. And this moment, now he had already done his ministry. He was beginning his ministry. But this moment when he calls his disciples, there's about a whole year's time that passes. But Mark just jumps right into it. And what he jumps in, first of all, is he gives the preaching that Jesus did during that interim year. And he gives it up, he sums it up in one phrase. You see, John had come preparing the way, as we talked about a few weeks ago, he was preparing the way for the Lord to come. And his message was, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was saying to the people, listen, you need to get ready because the Messiah is drawing near. And so he preached to them repentance and he was baptizing them. But there's a man, Mark doesn't go into it, there's a man named Herod that John directly, he's king, and John directly said to Herod, you must repent. And Herod didn't like that. He pointed out his sin, and Herod hated it so much that he took John and he threw him down into a prison, a deep, dark dungeon in one of his castles out in the wilderness. And there he kept John for 10 months until he finally killed him. And here's Herod thinking, I finally shut up the messenger. I finally stopped the message. But you know what? You can shut up the messenger in a dungeon, but the message of the gospel goes on. Amen? And Jesus, when he hears that John's put in prison, he begins to take up that message and he says, now's the time. The time is at hand. John was saying it was drawing near, and Jesus is saying it's here. The time is at hand. Repent. But then Jesus adds something. And believe the gospel. This is the call to salvation. The call to salvation is summed up in two ideas right here. He says, first of all, you repent. In order for a person to be saved, they must recognize that they are a sinner in need of salvation. Jesus said, I did not come the righteous, the self-righteous, those who think they have no need of a Savior. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners, those who recognize that they have a deep, inner, spiritual need. And so Jesus says, repent. That's where salvation starts. It's a response to the gospel that says you can never measure up to God's perfect, righteous, holy standard in and of yourself. Rather, you have fallen far short of the glory of God. And you must repent. You must recognize that that's my need. But it doesn't end there. Jesus says you repent, but you also must believe. You must believe. And what is it that you must believe, he says? You must believe in the gospel, the good news, and what Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the complete gospel. It's all about him. It's all about the fact that he came. He claimed to be the Son of God. He lived a perfect, holy, sinless life. He did many mighty miracles, proving that he's the Son of God. He healed the lepers. And cleansed the lepers. He healed the blind and allowed them to see again. He made the dumb to speak. He gave strength to the limbs of those who could no longer walk, and he raised them up and allowed them to walk. He raised up people from the dead. He fed 5,000, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. 5,000 men plus women and children. If you're a man here this morning over the age of 21, I want you to raise your hand. All right, so imagine this room. Well, you can't imagine this room. Imagine there's 5,000 of you, but raise your hand up really high. Don't be timid. Get it on up there. All right, now look around. That's about half of you. Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women, and the children are already gone. Probably at least 15,000 people. Jesus fed with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. He did many mighty miracles. But the gospel was what he would do next. He claimed to be the Son of God. He proved he's the Son of God by miracles. He went to the cross on our behalf, prophesying that he would go to Jerusalem and be taken by the chief priests, and he would be scourged, and he would be beaten and crucified and buried, sealed in a tomb, left for dead. But 3 days later, he said, I will come up out of the grave. And 3 days later, he gloriously triumphed over sin, death, and hell. That's the gospel. So Jesus says, he issues the call to salvation. You repent, you recognize you're a sinner, and you recognize, secondly, you believe, you recognize who Jesus is, that he is who he claimed to be. He's the eternal Son of God. He has all authority on heaven and earth, and he's the only name by which we may be saved. Jesus is the gospel. So you respond to the call to salvation and repentance and faith. But then Jesus begins to carry it out. Look with me again in verse 16. He issues the call to follow. The call to follow. Really, it's a call to serve in many ways. He issues this call to, he begins to gather the disciples around him and issue this call to follow him, a call to service. And I'm going to make several points about that this morning that I want you to catch. But look again in verse 16. He says, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Point number one, I want you to recognize that the call to follow Jesus is a personal call. Write that down. It's a personal call. Mark doesn't go into much detail here. The other Gospels do. They tell us that Jesus was walking along the seashore and there was a great crowd that was following him, that was coming to hear him speak. And in Luke, we find out that Jesus gets into Peter's boat. He sees Peter and Andrew. They've been casting their net out in the sea, and he sees them, and he goes to them, and he says, can I borrow your boat? And he enters into Peter's boat, and he begins to preach to the crowd. Then he says, let's launch out further into the deep. Mark skips all that. He cuts right to the chase. He says that he saw Peter and Andrew. You know, well, yeah, of course, Brother Nathan. He saw them. They were there. But Mark is making a specific point here. He saw them personally, individually. He drew near to them by name. And I want to tell you, brother or sister in Christ, that Jesus sees you personally as well. He knows you by name, and the call to follow him is a personal call. Yes, there's the call to salvation that Jesus gave to the multitudes when he says, repent and believe the gospel. That's for everybody. But then there comes that point when you begin to hear that for yourself. When you begin to understand that that call is not just for those people out there. That call is for me. Jesus is saying to me, and he's calling me by name. He's coming to me and he's saying, follow me. Follow me. Have you heard that call? That invitation to draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ? And have you responded? Jesus called Peter and Andrew. He said to them, follow me. And this was the personal invitation to each to enter into fellowship with the Lord. Every time God calls a person, it is personal. Every time God calls a person, it is personal. He calls you into relationship with himself. Here's what Jesus is doing. He's coming up to two men, and he's saying, guys, I want you to enter into fellowship with me. I want you to come after me, walk with me, learn from me, follow me. He doesn't say all that right then. He just sums it up in two words. He says, follow me. Follow me. It's an invitation. Have you done that? Have you heard the call of the Lord Jesus Christ saying to you personally, follow me, and responded in faith and said, yes, Lord, I will follow you? The call to service is a personal call. Nobody can get saved or anybody else. You must respond in repentance and faith yourself. And then when he comes to you and he begins to prick your heart, even as a believer, and invite you into some service for him, that's a personal call that you only can respond. He does that by the Holy Spirit. Notice their response, verse 18. They said, well, all right, Lord, we'll follow you. Let's see. Let's check our calendars here. Next Friday, we'll be off work at 5 p.m. We'll follow you then. Next Friday. How does that sound, Lord? That's what they said, right? You don't see that in Mark? Well, maybe in Luke. No. What's it say? Immediately, they left everything they had, and they followed him. The first thing I said, point number one, the call is a personal call. Secondly, it is a purposeful call. Look with me again at the call that Jesus issued. I was getting a little bit ahead of myself there. We'll catch up to immediately in a minute. It's a good one. That's why I want to get there. But he says, Jesus says, follow me. I will make you become fishers of men. I will make you become fishers of men. Jesus is looking at their occupation and he's giving them a new purpose. He's saying, I'm going to change the whole reason for your existence. You come after me and I'm going to completely change your life. I'm going to change your priorities. I'm going to change what's important to you. I'm going to make you become fishers of men. I'm going to give you new purpose. When you respond in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, what he does is he changes your life. He changes your purpose. No longer once before in your old way, you were just simply living your life, doing what you thought best. But now, when you recognize who the Lord is, that he's given his life for you, and that all you have really belongs to him, your purpose changes. It's no longer just to please self. You realize that that's a really shallow purpose to exist anyway. It's only going to last you as long as you're here. What changes is you recognize that there's an eternal purpose that the Lord has that's far greater than I could ever even imagine. And I'm going to follow him and trust him. But he says it's a purposeful call. I want you to notice something about the scripture here. The Lord cast the purpose before these men. He says, I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to take what you're doing, and I'm going to completely transform it, and I'm going to make you to gather others to me. But look again, how did Jesus see them when they were called? What were Simon and Andrew doing? What's the Bible say? They were what? They were casting a net. You ever seen anybody cast a net? My brother-in-law got into this a few years ago. We went down on a family vacation. The in-laws went with us, or we went with them, rather, I guess, on this one. And my brother-in-law, he got one of these big nets, and he wanted to learn how to fish by casting a net. So he would gather it all up. He had those weighted ends on it. He'd gather it all up, and it was really neat to watch. He would take it, and he'd grab the rope and have it in one hand, kind of looped, and then he'd throw it out, and if he threw it right, that thing would fan out really big. If he threw it wrong, it just kind of fell there. But if he got it just right, it would fan out really big, and it'd stretch out, and I think it was about an 8-foot net, and it would sink down, and those ends would sink down, and then he'd let it sink, and then he'd begin to slowly pull it back in and see what he was able to gather in his net. But one thing I noticed by him casting that net, as I noticed, it took a lot of patience, just like fishing always does. It took a lot of patience. It took a lot of perseverance. It took some toil. You had to gather that thing up to get just right, and you had to throw it out. And he did catch some fish that way. And he would haul it in. But it took patience, perseverance, and endurance. It took some strength. Jesus comes along and he sees Peter and Andrew and they're casting their nets. In a few minutes, he goes a little further. He sees James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother. And what does the Bible say about them? What were they doing? They were mending their nets. Now, remember, I told you that Mark is very quick moving, right? He just gets right there. He gets right to the point. But he makes a point of saying Peter and Andrew were casting their nets. James and John were over here. They were mending their nets. They were preparing them, fixing them. I could see after watching my brother-in-law Grant do this, you know, he would pull back in all sorts of different things. A few times it was fish. A lot of times there were pieces of junk that was caught up in there. And you have to work them out, you know. And if it got caught on something, you could get a snag in that net. And you'd have to sit there and try to fix it, or you could just push on. And the reason I think that the Bible tells us that Mark takes the time under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to tell us that Peter and Andrew are casting and James and John, the brothers over here, they're mending, is because it's recognizing that each of us is called in a specific way at a specific time, but we have unique gifts and capabilities. As you follow Peter, you see him as the one who's always out there in front, right? He's the active one. He's the one that's always, it seems like he's the first one to speak on everything. As you go through the Bible, he says, you know, they go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's like, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make some tents and stay here. He's the first one to say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am? He's the first one to say on the night before Christ goes to the cross, Lord, I will never deny you. But then he also denies him. He's the first one to speak. He's out there. But then when Jesus gets a hold of him after he's converted, after the resurrection, and he sees Jesus, and Jesus restores him and says to him, follow me again, and he casts him out. And the book of Acts, he's the spokesman. He's the one everybody turns to, and he stands up and he declares to them the eternal gospel. He says to the Jews, this man whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. He's declared him to be the Messiah by the resurrection from the dead. He's the first one to say, repent and believe. Peter's the one out there casting the net. But James and John are over here. The Bible says they're mending the net. And that's important too. You know why that's important? I could kind of imagine it like this. Peter might be the type of guy that, you know, he's just always eager. Let's get out there and fish, boys. Let's get in that boat and let's just start casting the net. James and John are more the type, the personality that says, well, we got to get everything prepared and ready. We got to make sure the net is equipped and that it's going to do the function for which it's called. Look at me. Peter and Andrew typify the evangelist who go out and they cast the gospel out. And they're trying to draw in the fish. James and John typify the person, the other person in the church who's called to help to bind up the brokenhearted, to help to mend and repair those things which are hurting in the church. The one that's called to help build up the church and strengthen the church. And if you follow John all the way through his ministry, his primary call all throughout is to minister and build up the church. Yes, he evangelized, that he was there to minister and build up the church. Look at me this morning. Here's the point of all that. God's call is a purposeful call. He sees you where you're at. He sees you doing what you're doing. Just as he saw Peter and Andrew casting, he saw James and John mending, and he looked at them and he said, I need these guys. I want these guys to follow me, and he invited them to follow. He said, I can take them and I can build my church with them. Even so, the Lord sees you right where you're at. He sees you with your personality, your own little particular quirks. He sees me with my many quirks. And he says, guess what? I can make you into something useful for my kingdom. Will you follow me? The problem is many of us seem to say, well, I don't know. Lord, I don't know that you can do that with me. Some of us say, well, I'm more of a go-getter. Some of us say, I'm more of a one that wants to sit through and prepare everything. And Jesus looks at both and he says, I need both. I want both to follow me. Have you heard the call to follow? Well, it's a purposeful call, but their purpose is completely changed. Their purpose in life up to that point had just been to meet their needs, maybe to get a new boat so they could go fishing some more, build their business like James and John and their dad. They had hired servants. But now Jesus says, I'm going to completely change what your life is about. And they were changed so completely, they could not have understood it at that point. But the power of God was going to completely change them. And that's point number three. God's call is a powerful call. It's a personal call. He calls you personally. It's a purposeful call. He's called you for a purpose. But it's also a powerful call. Jesus said, I will make you become fishers of men. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 13, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And the Bible says that of the disciples, they were completely changed. They could not imagine in that moment. Think with me for a minute. Here they are by the seashore, the waves lapping up against the boat, against the sand. And Jesus says to first Peter and Andrew, then to James and John, come after me, follow me. I'm going to make you become fishers of men. I'm going to change your occupation. I'm going to change your purpose in such a way that whatever you're doing, your main priority is to tell other people and to introduce other people to Jesus. They could not have imagined at that point what their lives would be like when they stepped out in faith and began to follow. But you know it. Over the next few years, they would see the most incredible days ever in history. Here is the Son of God. They're going to see all the miracles personally with their own eyes. They're going to touch him. And they're going to eat bread with him. And they're actually going to fish with him. What an incredible experience that is. When the Son of God fishes with you, your nets break. They're going to do all this with Jesus. They're going to see him go to the cross the darkest night ever. When the Son of God has been crucified and laid in that tomb. And they go home worried, scared, saying it's all over. Jesus is dead. They're going to spend the most anxious days ever wondering what do we do next. But then they're going to see the greatest day in history. The greatest day ever recorded in history when Jesus comes out of that grave and he sees them. He comes to them in that upper room and enters in through the walls and they touch him and they see the Son of God is risen indeed. He is Lord. They're going to see him ascend back to heaven. They could not know at that moment on that seashore where their lives would lead. For James, his life would lead a path of following Jesus, and he would end up becoming the very first apostle to be martyred. Stephen was the first martyr, but James was the first of the 12 that was killed. He was beheaded for the witness of Christ. He wouldn't know that. When he was followed, he said, I'm going to follow. But he said, it's worth it. He left all and followed Jesus. For Peter, he lived much longer. He wouldn't know the incredible things that this little fisherman by the seashore was going to do, that one day he would be standing in front of the leaders of his nation. And they would look at him. And they would say in Acts 4, 13, these leaders would look at Peter and John and they'd say, these men are uneducated. They're unlearned. They're just fishermen. And yet there's something different about them. Yet there's something incredibly different about them. Acts 4, 13, the Bible says that the religious leaders, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated common men. They were just ordinary men like you and like me. And they said, they were astonished, but they noticed the one big difference. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. The difference in their life was the fact that they had been with Jesus. Their call was powerful because they had been with Jesus. He completely changed their life. And they went from what everybody thought was ordinary to something extraordinary. Peter goes from that moment, he goes all the way, you follow him, and he too dies for the Lord. As tradition would say, crucified upside down, saying, I'm not worthy to die as my Lord did. Turn the cross upside down, please. Dying for the sake of the gospel. Andrew, he would go into Egypt and spread the gospel there and eventually die there. John, he would travel the world as well spreading the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, going to places that as a little boy growing up in a Galilean town he would have never imagined, all because he said, yes, I will follow the Lord. Their call was personal. Their call was purposeful. Their call was powerful. Would you stand with me this morning?